things that we speak of and preach of are eternal.
Eternal.
They last forever. I'd like to say we appreciate this church and the prayers that y'all have prayed for us. I'm telling you, faithful in prayer, the text that we've got, we got from this church, it means a lot to me. Don't take it lightly. The cards.
Yeah.
Y'all sent more cards and probably more texts than any church that they are.
Yeah.
That we know of. And I'm telling you what, I appreciate that from the bottom of my heart.
Bless you.
I want you to know that the Neese family appreciates this church.
Yeah.
We do. We appreciate you. I appreciate your prayers most of all. We're getting ready to sing here. I just want to talk to you a minute, tell you what God's done, how He's worked for us. He brought us out at least twice. They didn't know if I'd live or not, Brother Tommy, but God's people prayed me through it.
Yeah.
You think you're not important, don't let the devil lie to you.
Come on.
You're very important.
Yeah.
What you're doing up here, Sister Missy, is very important.
Very important.
That's important.
Yes.
The effect of it, we see it tonight, these girls singing.
Yeah.
It's important.
Yeah.
I want you to know I appreciate your prayers. They're important. There's twice I know of it. I didn't know if I'd live or not, but God brought me through it. 40 some days in the hospital. They cut my pancreas and spleen and messed me up somehow. They done a number on me. I had a hematoma on my stomach the size of a Nerf football. And I couldn't touch me, afraid to touch me. I was bleeding to death once. Didn't know if I'd live. God brought me through it.
Yeah, man. Praise God.
And second time down there, they sent me from Hazard down to Central Baptist and had to go in. Didn't know if I'd live. God brought me through it.
It
did.
Thank God.
My pancreas that they cut? They cut my pancreas. Got down Brother Dwayne Allen's one night. The Holy Ghost got to moving on Brother Dwayne. He laid his hands on me. Holy Ghost spoke through him, Brother Chuck, and said, the great physician has come to your house this evening. Well, I feel the Holy Ghost, sister. Nobody else, I'm feeling good, Brother Tommy. God brought me through it.
Yeah.
I went back down there, had a oneness doctor, and I told her, I said, the Lord's touched me. I don't know what He done, but God's moved on me. Went back down, had an ultrasound, and the doctor called me back, and he said, I don't know what. He said, I like to have patients, but there ain't no use for you to come see me. He said, there ain't nothing wrong with you. He said, it's healed or it's not. There's nothing there. Went back to my doctor, and I told her, I said, I told you God did something. She said, will you tell your people that this Pentecostal doctor, your Pentecostal physician, said that God did an absolute miracle.
Yeah. Hey.
There's absolutely no way, shape, or form, and any medical reason whatsoever that a pancreas can heal itself in less than a week. I said, I know who did it. God did it.
That's right.
I believe in Him, sister. I believe in that. I believe in a healing God, an almighty God. You believe in this Savior? Won't you stand to your feet? Let's let God help us. The Lord is in the building. The Holy Ghost is here this evening. It's kind of, He wants to help you. Can we reach for it? I should sing. My God. Somebody a word this evening. Hang on to it. Hang on to what God tells you. He'll follow through.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. I love Before we raise our hands one more time, let's ask God to have His way here as we begin to preach His word. Lord, would you move, God, in this altar service? God, move in this preaching, Lord. I'm a miserable flop without you. God, I need you. Lord, touch my body. God, give me the strength, Lord, to preach your word. Lord, I thank you for what we feel. God, I'll give you the honor and the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name we ask.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. If you want to stand for the reading of the word of God this evening, we'll be going to the book of 1 Samuel. Familiar reading, familiar text. 1 Samuel chapter number 17, verse number 3 tells us this. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of his coat was 5,000 shekels of brass.
Yes.
And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. and the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and he cried unto the armies of Israel, and he said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose ye a man for you, and let him come down to me. Verse 12 said, Now David was the son of the Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse.
Yes.
And he had 8 sons, and the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. Verse number 32, that same chapter, verse number 32 says, And David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight this Philistine. And Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. Verse 30, we'll go to verse 49. I'm sorry for this lengthy reading, but I want to read to you. Verse 49, the Bible said, And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead. That the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth.
Yes.
Second Samuel, we'll read one more scripture and I'll preach to you. The Lord will help me. Second Samuel, chapter number 21, verse 15 says, Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel. And David went down, and his servants with him, and fought against the Philistines, and David waxed faint. You may be seated here.
Yes.
In the house of the Lord this evening. I'll try to preach to you all these scriptures if I can today by the help of the Lord. I'm going to try to preach to you. I'm going to try to help you. I'm going to preach to you what I felt like the Lord sent me with, no more, no less. I'm telling you, the Lord's here this evening, and it's going to help you.
Yes.
I feel that with all my heart, Brother Jason. I would have said if I didn't. I felt it this evening. I felt it in prayer. And I'll preach to you this evening. I'll preach to you a message of help. You may be here this evening, and all of hell is against you, but I'll come to preach to you and tell you what I felt like the Lord is saying. It is the fool who thinks today's battles and victories will go unattested and without repercussion. It's those who cannot see past the end of their nose are the ones whose future is often shorter than that vision.
Yes.
For the devil loves the spotlight, and as long as we're on the stage of life, he's going to make every attempt he can to try to show his appearance.
That's right.
That's what he wants, don't he? He wants you to do his best to try to make himself known. I'll tell you, this sister testified so great back here a while ago. Both of them did. I enjoyed that. But the devil wants to take and make himself preeminent, be the forerunner and the most obvious of all things. I've read to you today in your presence the most common, simple story that everybody knows. It's nothing deep. It's nothing in depth. It's a common story.
Yeah.
It's our children know it, Brother Tommy. They've taught it all their life, Brother Jason. They know this story of David and Goliath, of this mighty giant here that was 9 foot tall and he had armor of about 150 pounds. They know that story. They've read that story all their life. It's the classic case of the underdog versus the great opposition. And I'm telling you, as Christians, that's where we find ourselves a lot of times.
Yeah.
We're often the underdog. Can you say amen?
Yeah.
I tell you though, I always like to put my hat in the ring for the underdog. I always wanted to be one that would back the underdog. And I know there are those among us here tonight that know exactly what I'm saying, Brother Chuck.
Yeah.
They know exactly what it's like to feel that opposition of the devil. We feel him more than one time. Like I said, it's the fool who thinks that it's a one-time battle.
Yeah.
Because it's more than just a one-time battle.
Yeah.
And, you know, often we find ourselves, just like our text here in 2 Samuel there, where the Bible told us in the 15th verse, he said that moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel.
Yeah.
Now, if you take that verse and we can break that verse down, there's some key words in that verse, in that text there, just the front part of that text. It gives us a hint to the life of David.
Yeah.
It'll give us a hint to what's ahead of us.
Right.
For the Bible said that, moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel. That word, moreover, we find it means in addition to. Then we find that word, yet, which means still or even. It emphasizes a repetition or a repeating process. And the word again there means once more. So if we look at this scripture and we can see what's ahead of us, there's going to be many, many battles. There's going to be many, many trials. It's going to be hard sometimes, but I'm telling you what, it's not always going to be a bed of roses, but it's not always going to be a bed of thorns. Amen. It ain't always going to be down. We ain't always going to be in the battle, but we are finding ourselves seem like over and over again battling Satan and battling his devices. It shows us of the battle and the repetition of the battle that was fought by David and his army of men. More than once, the Bible says, matter of fact, many times to be exact, there were encounters and battles over and over again between Israel and the Philistines. And we are just like that. We're moreover. We're yet again. Or we're again in a battle. We're again in a fight. We're again into it with the devil. Time and time again, the people of God are fighting Satan and his devices. They come straight out of nowhere, seems like. Sister Miss, seems like out of nowhere, Brother Tommy. There's a battle. There's a discouragement. There's a trial. There's a temptation. It pops up out of nowhere, out of the middle of nothing. There comes something, and it tries my faith. It tries your faith. It tries to put unbelief and doubt in our hearts. And it's just another battle. We find at the hardest times, often the darkest times, part of our life, by the grace of God, we find ourselves After we go out to this battle, we often gain victory. Anybody in here ever had a victory over something? Anybody in here ever fought the devil and won? By God, there's some of us that's fought the battle and we won. But tonight, we beat old Goliath, seemed like, Brother Jason. We've won a few battles. We've won a few fights. I will preach to us tonight, if God will help me, on the other giant.
Yeah.
All right.
Come on. Goliath was a great victory.
Great one.
Come on.
He was a mighty, mighty win. My God, it was something great.
Yes.
Everybody knows the story about David and Goliath.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that David defeated Goliath.
Yeah.
David here was the Bible tells us, I'm going to try to get where I'm going. I hope God will help me.
Come on.
He was the second and the greatest king of Israel. He was an ancestor himself through the lineage of Christ, born in Bethlehem to Jesse there, born the youngest of 8 sons, the Bible said, of Jesse. And my old David began as a shepherd.
Come on.
He demonstrated his courage. The Bible tells us, and his faithfulness, by killing the lion and the bear as they attacked his flock. That man, that young man, David, there demonstrated what he was made of. He killed that lion and he killed that bear when there was no one around. Praise God. Thank God for the battles that we won in silence. Thank God for those battles that was fought in the midnight hour on her bed with tears, with groanings and moanings that only heaven can understand. But praise God, there have been many lions slayed in the midnight hour.
Yeah.
Even when nobody know anything about it. When the pastor didn't know what we was going through. When our wives didn't know what we was going through. When your husbands don't understand what you're going through. Thank God that there's been many battles won. Many victories won in the midnight hour, in the times of alone. I say that's what makes us what we are. That's the battles that makes men and women of God. That's the battles that shows us what the true faith really is. Those victories are what men are made of. That's what we get when we get along with God and we find ourselves moaning and groaning and begging God to help us win this battle. Sometimes we gotta fight them like old David did, all alone in the backside of the desert somewhere, tending the flock. But thank God he killed the lion and the bear and spared the sheep.
Hey.
Praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank God for those battles that we won.
Amen.
Praise God. Eventually, David became King Saul's squire, however you say that, Brother Tom.
Yeah.
Played his harp.
Yes.
I can't wait to get there and listen to him play it. Thank you.
Yeah.
I believe he's playing it tonight. Praise God. But what put David on the map, and what made David the man, and what made David a national hero, is when he showed up to the Valley of Shokoh. When he came down to that fight with the giant, that Goliath.
Yeah.
That's what put David on the map.
Thank you, Lord.
It was a renowned battle, a battle of great grit, and a battle of fighting intestinal fortitude from a young man that was not afraid to show that God is still God. I believe he's still God tonight, don't you?
Yeah.
Praise God. Such a victory, David, but you know what got me? After that victory with Goliath, David made many mistakes after that.
Yeah.
None of us have made no mistakes.
Come on.
Amen. How many times have we got victory, like Brother Luke said, God moved for us, and then we find ourselves messing up, falling down, or saying something we shouldn't say, doing something? How many times have we failed after God just took Goliath down?
Come on.
How many times have we made mistakes since after God took us to the battle and he showed us Brother Chuck and he can move and he showed us some mighty power. He moved and his mighty hand came by Sister Dishman and he touched us. As soon as the battle was over, years or months down the line, we find ourselves, David made mistakes, but thank God that he didn't give up on David. Thank God he didn't give up on us. I tell you, we beat Goliath. We won that battle. My God, and David made mistakes, and so have we. But although David had many battles with the Philistines, he's no doubt known for the Battle of Goliath, that major battle. And I'm sure we read that many years, we can read through the scriptures, many years they pass, and there's no mention of another big battle for a long time after he beat into Goliath. Thank God for a little breath of fresh air. Amen. Thank God for a little breath of fresh air. Thank God that you won the battle for me, Brother Jason. I just like to take a break every now and then. My God, before we go right back into it again. That's where old David was. He got a little space of grace. He got a little space of to breathe. And we read there that there's a time span between the other battle. But here we find what amazed me, this little fella that went down and he had courage. I'm telling you, he's 17-year-old. Some say he went down just a fair countenance. The Bible said a man just a ruddy youth. But now, here's where I'm getting to. This little boy came down and he showed him that God was real. And he made mistakes. After God defeated him, helped him defeat Goliath at a young age, he made mistakes. And I read in your presence tonight here over in the other book of Samuel, we find a man now that is of the age of 60 years old.
Yeah, yeah, come on.
God defeated a giant at Goliath at the age of somewhere around 17.
Yes, yes.
And then we find him over in the book of 2 Samuel. Here's a man of the age of 60 years old.
Yeah.
But David ain't as good as he once was.
Yeah.
Huh? Ain't a lot of us ain't as young as we once was.
Right.
Oh, I wish Brother Scotty Grooms was here to see him. I'd get him. It takes a lot of us ain't as young as we once was, Brother Payton.
That's right, right, yeah.
Here's David now, 60-year-old man. And for 43 years, David has never fought another giant, the Bible tells us. I can't find it, can you?
No.
43 years after he had beaten Goliath,
yeah,
through the help and the grace of God, through the big battle of his life,
yeah,
man, he was out there and he showed them people that God was real. He went down and he got his, first of all, he took his staff. Then he went down and he got his stones. I believe he got 5 stones because there's 5 of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if they wanted some, he had some for them.
Yeah, he had them brothers.
Come on, pull them out one by one. We'll knock them down. He went down and he got enough to kill them all.
Yeah.
Sometimes we go down to the creek, we get one stone.
Yeah.
We ought to get a bag full of them. We're going to need them.
Right. Come on.
Come on, there's more than one battle.
You're right.
I thought there was more than one giant.
Sure.
And he went prepared to kill them all when he went.
Come on.
But there was only one challenged him, and by the grace of God, he left him laid.
Yeah.
43 years later, this man at the age of 60 years old, he's going and we find him again, as the Bible said in this 21st chapter of 2 Samuel, a 60-year-old David is out to war again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel. The devil don't care how old we are.
No. That's it, brother. That's it. Right?
He don't care if we're in the prime of our life at 17, or if we're 60 or 66, 86, it don't matter where we're at. The devil is coming and we're going to have war again.
You're right.
We're going to go again. We're going to fight again.
Yeah.
No doubt David thought my days of battling giants is over. I went 43 years. I've never had to fight another one according to the Bible. He's never battled another great giant for 43 years. I'm 60 years old now. God's given me a breath of fresh air. I'm going to preach to you this evening on the other giant. And God, there's more than one. There's another one on his way. There's another one fixing to call us out. Are you ready to battle him? Are you ready to face him? But I will say again, moreover, yeah, again, I tell you, we're going to battle him again.
Yes.
God help me to preach.
Come on now.
The Bible says a man by the name of Ishbanah. You ever heard of him? The Bible tells us that he was the son of the giant.
Well,
one of the sons of the giant.
Yes, Lord.
Son of Gath, I guess it would be, wouldn't it? He was a son. He was one of them.
Come on.
He was one of them. He was Goliath's brother.
Yes.